The opinions expressed by the hosts, callers, and guests are not those of DGVRadio.com, Envisage Productions LLC, its advertisers, sponsors, or employees.
www.mightbroadcastddv.com radio. Coming through today in favor of Pastor Michael D. McDuffie for his broadcast show. I'm stepping in as a guest speaker, and I'm welcoming all who are listening today who have took the time to log in and hear what has to be said. Today, I'm going to speak about a few topics. One of my topics is going to be about our community here in Paterson, New Jersey. I wanted to bring some things to light and have some of my opinion, and hopefully some callers will call in. The phone number here is 973-925-4559. I'm hoping that I get some callers to call in and give their thoughts, opinions, and feelings on some of the things that I will be speaking about. But I'm going to first now go in. I'm going to come open it up in prayer because we want to make sure that we cover the atmosphere before getting started. Father, we just come before you right now, Lord God. And we're asking you, Lord God, that you hear our voices, Lord God, that you know our names and you allow us, Lord God, to be in your throne room for just a little while, Lord God, that we may hear what you would have us to say to the people, Lord. Father God, I come right now, Lord God, humbly, Lord. I ask, Lord God, that all my sins be washed away, Lord, and that all the sins of the world be washed away right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we just ask that you make this broadcast go worldwide, Lord God, that we touch the hearts of the people, that we open eyes of those who are shut, and that we allow those who have see, Lord God, that you would have for them. I ask right now, Lord God, that you will the sick, Lord God, that you will house the homeless, Lord God, that you will provide, Lord God, a place and a way out for those who are being hurt, harmed in this afternoon, Lord God. Give them a way and a place to go, Lord God. Send that lamb in the bush, Lord God, that they would come and save them out of their atmospheres. We ask this right now in your mighty name. Amen. Now down to business. Again, like I said, good afternoon. Good afternoon on this wonderful, amazing, and beautiful day. It's supposed to be winter, but it seems like it's spring or fall outside, right? So let's enjoy the weather. My first conversation today, I'm going to talk about how we need to remove the chains, how we need to break our minds and our bodies out of a slave mentality. And I say that because my last few conversations with friends, I don't want to use the word disturb me, but it kind of moved me in a way of, wow, we're still stuck. We cry about how our people, and I'm going to talk about minorities right now. I'm not trying to offend anyone who are Caucasian or other than, but I have to speak about something that I know or understand. And me as being an African-American woman, a black woman, I can only speak for what I know. And I'm saying that we have allowed ourselves to be enslaved on a whole different level in our atmosphere. I think if we open our minds and we begin to work on our mindsets, that we can change our communities. We keep on thinking that this person or this nationality or this race is holding us down or holding us back or stopping us from moving forward. But a lot of times we're stopping ourselves because we keep on thinking in the past and how it used to be in a time that we didn't even live. We never had chains on us, thank God. Our ancestors and the ancestors before them have done so much to free us, and we keep binding ourselves back up by our minds, by our mentality, and by how we live. We say we want to be free, but then we sit there and we allow ourselves to think negatively, react negatively, and do things in the wrong manner. See, a slave mentality, I'm going to break that down from my perspective on how I see it and how I look at it. a slave mentality is not just chains and balls and ropes and things of that nature. That was the past. That's how slavery was presented. But now a slave mentality is the way you're thinking that you don't deserve it. It's not for you or your people, or this person is binding me up and leaving me back. How are you going about doing the things that you need to do? How are you keeping yourself from that mentality? Sometimes we got to change the people, place, and things that we are doing, the places where we're at, and the people who we're around. Because if we don't, we'll keep thinking that it's okay. If you don't get out of the normal box, you think it's okay to hang on the corners, or you think it's okay to talk a certain way and call each other the N-word. If all five of your friends are calling each other the N-word, you don't see it as not being normal. You think that's the way you're supposed to talk. But if you get around people who are talking in a different dialect or a different concept, you'll see, oh, this really is not how I'm supposed to be talking. So now you can get out of that. That right there is one way. Then you have where you have people who have jobs and they're constantly trying to say or find ways to say, oh, the white man's keeping me down. I'm sorry if I laugh. The white man's keeping me down. He's not allowing me to progress. He's not allowing me to go forward. But then you come to work late every day. You constantly in the middle of some confrontation. You constantly find yourself in the limelight of problems and situation. It's not that the white man or the managers are keeping you down. You're keeping yourself down. You're never on time. You're giving yourself a spotlight. You're never doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're giving yourself a spotlight. They're now looking at you because you are doing things that, you know, not supposed to be done on a job. Then you wind up, I'm not going to do this no more because, you know why? They don't want me to progress. No, you don't want yourself to progress. If you don't change how you do things, how you expect people to make sure to treat you a different way? We have to change ourselves. There's been times, yeah, we went through stuff and we did certain things. At some point in time, we have to grow up and we have to move forward. I want to also say that, you know, another way of being a prisoner in your own self is whenever we go around and we say, oh, I can't have this or I can't have that. We make our own way by how we do things and how we present things and how we go about things. We have to start taking that mindset to say, I'm a slave no more to this thing. I'm a slave no more for that thing. The chains have been broken and I'm free. We can't be free if we keep locking ourselves down with things and binding our minds up with things. We want people to treat us like we're free, but then we bind ourselves up. We wind up getting ourselves in predicaments that we know that are not right or not fair or not supposed to be. We want to play the blame game. All right. Yes, there was slavery. I'm not neglecting that. And I'm not saying that it wasn't there. I'm not even ignoring that. Stuff like that bothers me. But you know what? When I see a movie with racism, or if I see a movie with chains in it, or slavery or the chain gang, that stuff drives me to be better. That stuff drives me to make sure that I'm doing things right. That stuff makes me say, they're not going to put me like that. I'm going to make sure that I get an education. I'm going to make sure that I can do this and that and the third so that I cannot be bound up where somebody could tell me when I could go and not go. We sit here in our communities and say, we don't want to be slaves. We don't want to do this. We want to do that. But then we go do stuff and get locked up just so somebody could tell us that we a number and that when you could sleep, when you could eat, what you could wear, what you can't wear. And now you have put yourself right in a predicament where you made yourself a slave. You made yourself a slave, but yet you said you don't want to be a slave. The white man didn't do that. He didn't tell you to sell the drugs. Nobody told you to do that, to get in trouble. Not saying all people in jail are supposed to be there, because I don't believe that. I know for a fact, because I have family members that's there, that I know for a fact is innocent. But we have to get out of the mentality of trying to play the blame game to stay bound up. I get tired of people coming to me and saying how, oh, the kids are bad, this, that, and the third. We need to do something about the kids. No, you know what? We do need to do something for the kids and with the kids, but we need to do something with some of these adults. The kids are following by. We, as if they see us doing certain things, we've now enslaved their minds to let them. It's okay to act like this. It's all right to be like this. Getting locked up is a cool thing. We teaching our kids to be slave to street mentality. That's not fair, and it's not. We need to change our ways and change who we are. I'm going to jump over to another sector because I opened that up with the children. My ministry, because Pastor is going to kill. I didn't say my ministry. I'm so sorry, everyone. My ministry is heart to heart ministry. So whenever I see certain things and it get attacked a lot, because that's my ministry, heart to heart. If whatever you name a thing, that's what you're going to get attacked about. I have a problem with the children right now. We all do. We see our children, they're falling short. They're falling by the wayside. They're not getting the attention that they need. They're not getting the education that they need. They're not getting the love that they need. They're not getting the opportunities that they deserve. They're not getting proper nourishment. They're not getting proper home training. And it's not always that the parents are not doing it. There's a missing link right now in our atmosphere with our children. And we need to figure this thing out. We need to figure out what is that missing link that we can get to grab our children and save them. It's now, you know, everybody go, oh, we're going to save for the children. We're going to help the children. We're going to help the children. But it was never a priority. But now they're beginning to kill each other. They're beginning to hurt one another. They're beginning to do things that's out of the ordinary. And now it's like everybody's fumbling, trying to figure out how can we save these children. We have to figure out a way, a program, a progress, or something that will help the children know that they are loved, they're wanted, they're needed. They are needed because they're our future. My pastor, Pastor Michael D. McDuffie, that he runs out of the school system, that he collaborates with the schools and different pastors and different ministries and different entities to go into the school system to help them out. We're trying to, control or condense the problem so that we can figure out how to help the children that are crying out for attention. That program is the I Am Initiative, which has been progressing tremendously. Like, the school systems are loving it. We have our own Reverend Marcus Devlin, Pastor Reverend Devlin. He's in two high schools, and the outcome has been amazing. And I mean, a lot of people want to complain about what we can do to help these children. We need y'all to jump in, because if not, we're not going to be satisfied until they bring us back. And I'm going to go back to my subject. This is why I brought this in, of slavery, because now you're going to begin to have these people. They're going to begin to start grabbing our children off the streets and putting them in type of different chain gangs and different programs that's going to bind them up and make them even more angrier. We have to show love to these kids, and we have to give them a way out. And we can't do that if we're not focused ourselves as adults. We as the adults need to check ourselves. We need to check how we living. We need to check how we speaking. We need to check how we presenting ourselves. We need to check how we are going about doing things. It's not your child, but it is your child. Anybody's child that's on the street that is getting hurt or harmed or doing something out of order, we should not be afraid to say something to these children. We should not be afraid to say that, you know what, let me talk to you, young man or young woman. Let me explain to you what this street life is going to do to you. Let me show you a different way. It takes 5 minutes to save someone's life. Trust me. One conversation could take a kid off the streets and he'll never go back. We have so many people with good stories and good conversations when they drinking a beer, smoking a blunt. But then you sit and you watch these kids. They are disintegrating. They are falling off and falling short because we're not stepping up to the plate. We have to mandate ourselves to save our children. I don't want to see our kids in chains. I don't want to see our kids bound up, because that's where we're heading if we don't get our children back to where we need our communities to be. It ain't about if they black or Spanish or Mexican or Arabic. That doesn't matter. A child that needs help is a child that needs help. Because one day we're going to need these kids to push us in a wheelchair, not push us over a cliff in the wheelchair. We have to get into these neighborhoods and we have to begin to start helping our children, because we don't want them to be hurt and harmed anymore. We can't allow the streets to teach our children. We need to teach our children. Because if not, then they're going to get bound up in their minds to thinking this is the way it is, and they're going to be slave to their drug dealer bosses, or they're going to be slave to their drug dealer and be outside selling themselves or selling drugs or doing stuff that they're not supposed to be doing. We have turned the slave master into our drug dealers. Our leaders of our gangs are now our slave masters, who are taking our children and slaving them to sell their drugs and taking them to slave on the streets to do their bad deeds. We have to begin to break this cycle. Our ancestors fought for us to have rights and to have the ability to think for ourselves and do things for ourselves. But they did not think that we were going to take it and botch it up with running through here and selling drugs to our own people and embodying their minds with drugs to where they can't think for themselves and having zombie style people walking around here. We have to stop this. We have to figure out a way to save our people, to save our children, to save our streets, to get out of a bondage of a now today slavery. We're slaving ourselves, people. Wake up. Take the chains off of your depression. Take the chains off of your miserableness. Take the chains off of your anger. Take the chains off of your I have to do it this way, because if I don't, I'm not going to get what I need from this person. You don't have to sell drugs. See, you selling drugs land you in jail. You landing in jail allow you not to have a job, because now they got something to hold on you. You've bound yourself up. So now you got to revamp yourself. You got to renew yourself. You got to rebuild yourself to make yourself a new you. But if you keep doing the same things, you're not going to be a new you, so we can't change nothing. We have to change in order to bring change. People are constantly coming to me and saying, well, Patterson is the worst place ever. No, it's not. It's really not. The city is not bad. It's the people who entertain the bad things that's bad. But there's more of us that are good. There's more of us that have good thoughts and good intentions than there are bad people. But we have to stop being scared and speak up and come from out of the four walls. When we have different pastors, and one, my pastor, Pastor Michael McDuffie, going to the streets and saying, let's pray and break down strong walls, strongholds, and free this atmosphere for these people so that they can live right. Y'all don't come out. Nobody wants to come out. But then as soon as a child or anyone get hurt, die, then you call on the church and you want us to run out here and help you. But then you mock the church, you mock the situation until you hurt and harm. Why don't we join hands, join forces, join unity, be together before tragedy come? Why don't we teach and learn how to get out of these bonds before tragedy comes? And I'm sorry, guys, if I sound a little raspy. I'm catching a little cold or something here. And I just want to say that, you know, we as the minority of Patterson have to bridge together. You don't speak Spanish? Grab a person that speaks English and Spanish and bring them to the Spanish community and say, what can I do to help? What can we do to bridge together to make these blocks better? If we start off block by block, before you know it, we can have the whole city doing things the right way. Form a group that would clean up the garbage off the streets. There's things for our kids to do. We just have to find the right tactics to do it. We got to stop using excuses of they're not my kids, or let me move out of the city and let me forget about it, or let me cross the bridge and go somewhere else and go shopping, or let me turn my head and I don't want to talk about it. And then next week, a family member get hurt, harmed, or God forbid, killed. Then you want to scream about the city and the Patterson mayor and the this and the that. But we the people are the city. Then we don't need a mayor if there's no people in the city. So we the people have to help to mandate these different programs and different things that's out here in the street. We can't charge the mayor for something that we're not even doing. We want to say the mayor's not this and the mayor's not that, but we're not doing it. What are we going to do to save our children? What are we going to do to save our community? What are we going to do to stop being bound up? We got to get out of today's slavery mentality. We got to free ourselves of the negative things. We got to free ourselves of the I coulda, shoulda, wouldas. We got to free ourselves from the It's not for me. We got to free ourselves and say, I'm not good enough. We got to free ourselves from those thoughts. We got to free ourselves from our negative mind thinking and think positive so that we can get out here and make a difference. If we just say, I can, I would, and I should, and it's going to be done, we will have a better result. I want to just say, too, that, you know, me being a mother of two children, raising them here in Paterson, New Jersey, I didn't have to go through half the stuff that some of the parents and their children went through. I thank God for that. He blessed me with a good living and a good kids and good, you know, raising. But that doesn't neglect the fact that I can't ride down the street and see a kid that needs something. I take every kid that I see as my own. If I see a kid that look like their shoes are running over, I feel bad. I want to try to figure out how to get them a pair of shoes. If I see somebody that's not eating, I want to figure out how I can get them some food. Just because it's not your child doesn't mean that we don't supposed to think about them. Don't mean we're not supposed to take care of them. Everybody want to say, oh, well, you just focusing on kids. Yeah, because you know what? The kids are suffering right now. That's why they're crying out and doing the things that they're doing. They're going and they're latching on to the wrong people. They're latching on to the wrong things because they have nothing to latch on to, no examples, no leadership that could show them a different way. All we want to do is go speak at them instead of speaking to them. We need to ask them, what's wrong? What's going on? Why are you like this? Why are you out here? Why are you doing this? What? Ask them questions and let them answer you. Stop thinking you know everything about these kids and let them have a voice. Kids have voices too. I don't know why people think kids don't have voices. They do have voices. And that's why they're crying out with the guns. And that's why they're crying out with the fighting. That's why they're crying out with being bad at school, bad attendance. That stuff right there is them crying out because nobody wants to listen to them. We have to find the time to listen to our children, to hear our children, to see our children, to understand our children. Because I'm telling you, if we don't, we're going to find ourselves back in this situation where they're going to start snatching our kids up and putting them in conservation camps. I don't even know how you say that, where they put them in cages and stuff and they have them confined because they don't know what to do with them or they don't know how to control them. We have to figure out a way to make this communities in Paterson better. And I don't live here anymore, but I will always be here. This is my hometown. This is where I was born and bred. And if I can make it all the way to 49 years old, I want to see the next child make it past that. Because it was a time where you could walk through the streets without a fear in the world. Now you have people that don't even want to walk to the corner store. And they live next door to the store. Because our children are crying out for attention, so therefore they're doing stuff they're not supposed to be doing. And now you got the older people afraid to walk outside because the kids are out of control. The kids are out of control because there's no recreation centers. Then when they play sports, you got sports, you got different entities of sports, basketball, football, baseball teams, soccer, hockey, not hockey because we ain't in that type of realm, but soccer, baseball, basketball, football. But then you have these high prices for uniforms and things like that. And the parents that their kids want to play, the kids can't play because their parents can't afford it. So why don't we have somebody step up and begin to do a fundraiser that's not going in their pocket, but a fundraiser that's going to buy some uniforms? Why is our city not providing uniforms for these kids to have recreation so then their parents don't have to worry about them being in the street? A lot of kids want to play sports. A lot of kids want to do these things, but there's no room for them to do it because they're living in single-parent homes and their parents have to decide whether to pay for food or a football uniform. Or the parents got to worry about paying for food or shoes, or a pair of cleats or a pair of sneakers for school. We need to find somewhere where there's an organization or a program, and I know they're out there, and I know you can hear me. Somebody out there right now has the means and the finances to supply a whole football team for anybody that want to join that team and get these kids off the street. Go out there, coaches and pre-coaches and side coaches, and start recruiting some of these kids on the street. Ask them if they want to play football. But when you go out there and ask them if they want to play football, pay for their uniform. And I bet you'll have a bigger football team, a better football team, and less kids on the street. We got to figure out how to get our kids in a place where they're not going to become jailmates to somebody. We got to get them where their minds is not. This is not the way to go. This is not how we're going to do this. We're going to get out of this. We're not going to enslave ourselves to street mentality. We're going to build ourselves up. We're going to break the chains off. We're going to get you in school. We're going to get your grades right. We're going to get you so good that you're going to get scholarships and you're going to go to college and you're going to be somebody. We have to start talking to our children this way. You're not going to be on the streets for the rest of your life. You're not going to be hungry. You're going to go and you're going to get an education and you're going to get out of this place. That's how you break chains. That's how you break slavery mentality. You tell them the good things. Don't tell them, oh, when I was a kid, I used to gangbang. Oh, when I was a kid, we used to hang on the street to 2-3 o'clock in the morning. That ain't cool conversation to get to your children. That's the stuff that as an adult, we should really be trying going in that direction so that they can get better. But if you say this to your kid, oh, I hung out in clubs all night long. When I was younger, we used to go and do this. Be careful, kids, because they're going to tell me I can't. Said you hung out. How you telling me that I can't smoke cigarettes? You told me you started at 10 years old. How you going to tell me that I can't have drinks? You drinking every day. We got to live by examples. We cannot keep on bonding our kids up to make them think that this is okay. Obviously, we're not doing something right. All of us as a whole, because our atmosphere is showing it. It is crying out. It is spewing out in front of us. We're seeing kids killing kids. That is not normal. That is not stuff that we should be seeing in this day and age. We should be coming together. Do you know the high rate of abortions in this era, in this time? We don't even see that. It used to be a time where you see a lot of African-American and Hispanic women with stomachs and pregnant. We're almost a dying breed between abortion and killing one another. We're wiping our own self off the earth. We're not even allowing ourselves to reproduce anymore. We have now taught our young women that having children is an abomination. No, the abomination is not having children. The abomination part of it might be that you having it unwedded. Maybe you should, you know, do things right and get married and have children. Why can't we teach them this is the process? You live your life, you do good, you get good grades, you get your education, you don't just date any old man. You're fine and you wait for God to send you the man, or you wait for the connection with a man and you let that man know I'm looking for marriage, and then you get married and then you have children. But we should not just be saying, oh God, black people always having kids, Spanish people always having kids, y'all need to stop having kids. And now you sit back and you look, and our whole nationality is gone. It's going. Right now, we're going to... I'm sorry, guys. We got to take a break. Again, the phone number here is 973-925-4559. Our login to www.mikebroadcastddv.com. Thank you for listening. We'll be back.
Tri-State Health and Wellness. If you're searching for a doctor who truly cares about your health and well-being, contact Dr. Alex at Tri-State Health and Wellness. Dr. Alex specializes in treating law enforcement professionals and their families and features special hours to accommodate alternating work schedules. All necessary testing can be performed in their friendly and comfortable environment. Contact Tri-State Health and Wellness, located in Fairlawn, New Jersey. Call 201-791-7771. That's 201-791-7771. Dr. Alex at Tri-State Health and Wellness, a premier sponsor of the BlueMagazine.com and DDVRadio.com. Kale Orthopedic Center, high-performance care for bodies in motion. Kale Orthopedic Center is proud to provide comprehensive orthopedic care for the men and women of law enforcement and their families. Contact Kale Orthopedic Center at 201-447-3880. Kale Orthopedic Center, high-performance care for bodies in motion. If you're looking for a new vehicle or a certified used vehicle, look no further. Visit Wayne Ford, New Jersey's law enforcement preferred dealer, featuring the largest inventory of pre-owned certified vehicles. Wayne Ford is conveniently located on Route 46 in Wayne, New Jersey. Contact Wayne Ford today. Toll free 888-349-6857. That's 888-349-6857. The Blue Magazine, the nation's unfiltered and independent voice for law enforcement. The Blue Magazine's main objective is to strengthen the ties that bind us together as brothers and sisters in blue. Featuring relative, helpful, and interesting articles while publishing the true and uncensored story. stories of the men and women in law enforcement who have taken the oath to protect and serve. Visit thebluemagazine.com. That's www.thebluemagazine.com. If you're a police officer, you know that visibility is a key safety issue. Now it's time for you to be the light in the darkness with the world's first patented rechargeable LED identifier, Body Beacon. Whether it be traffic enforcement or search and rescue, increased visibility is key to your safety. Inform your purchasing department about Body Beacon. Visit rescueleaders.com or call 862-221-9069. Homebridge Financial Services, offering mortgages for everyday heroes. Contact Michelle Hendershot at Homebridge Financial Services. Call 973-464-7119. That's 973-464-7119. Are you looking to purchase a home in Florida? For more information, contact Jenny Ramirez. Call Jenny Ramirez at La Rosa Realty. Jenny Ramirez has been finding homes for law enforcement officers for over 15 years. Call 321-946-8555 or visit jenny.larosarealty.com. Are you looking for the best dentist and dental care services near you? Discover the Silverstrom Group Difference. Conveniently located in Livingston, New Jersey, the Silverstrom Group is the winner of the Best Dentist Award for 5 years in a row and voted New Jersey Top Dentists for 2018. Providing exceptional and compassionate care, the Silverstrom Group. Call 973-992-3990. That's 973-992-3990. If you're a member of the law enforcement profession and are looking to establish long-lasting business relationships with businesses that are Blue-friendly, it's time to visit visitblue.com. Visitblue.com features some of the best doctors, lawyers, as well as other service providers, such as home improvement and financial services. If you are looking for reliable, trustworthy service providers, visit visitblue.com. That's www.visitblue.com. If you're looking for the widest variety of talk programming, entertainment, news, and information, you've found it. DDVRadio.com features programs such as Uncle Floyd Radio, The Wise Guys Show, and Blue World Uncensored. DDVRadio.com, the official radio network of VisitBlue.com and TheBlueMagazine.com. And now, back to the program. DDVRadio.com.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to DDV.com radio. This is Elder Lisa Brown, Minister Brown. I'm in stepping in for Pastor Michael D. McDuffie. The radio show here, the phone number here is 973-925-4559. Again, the website is www.mightbroadcastddv.com. And we're coming today, and this is part two of what I was talking about, as far as our mindset, changing our mindset from having a slave type mentality, and helping our community and helping our children. We left off with me saying that, you know, how we need to find some kind of bridge where we can all come together and unify together to help our children. And I'm very adamant about that. I'm not going to let that go, and I'm not going to stop talking about that, because they need us right now. Our children are crying out for us, and we need to figure out, how can we console them? How can we hold them? How can we help them without judging them, without trying to beat it into them, but at the same time drill it into them that their life is valuable and that they are needed? Because if not, they're going to be gone and wiped off the face of the earth. And then what? We have, at one point, a couple of weeks ago, I'm going to say about a month ago, we had about 3 mothers lose their children in a matter of 3 days or 4 days by simple, unnecessary gun violence. Somebody is selling our kids guns. Somebody is giving our babies guns. Why is it somebody out there trying to figure that out? Where are these guns coming from? How are they getting into our communities? Who's telling our children that the guns is the new good thing? They passing these guns out like they passing out candy on Halloween. We got to figure out where these guns are coming from and stop it. Because if we don't get to the source of a thing, we're going to always have a problem. We can't keep looking at the the after effect and all that all the time. We got to go back and go to the core of the thing. Like my pastor used to teach us, you got to go to the root of a thing. You got to find out where it started at, where it came from. Because if you don't take something from the root, it'll just keep growing. It'll grow right back. It's like trees. If you ever paid attention or ever known that when they cut trees down, they put a paint over it. You know why they put that paint over that stump of the tree? Because they want to stop it from growing. They don't want it to grow no more. But if they don't put something like something near, you come back a couple of weeks later, you're going to see the leaves start sprouting out of it because it's going to begin to start growing again. So what we have to do is we have to go in and pull things from the very root. If a child or a person have anger issues, it's not what they're probably not angry, so to speak, about what's happening right now today. You got to start asking people, what's wrong? What's going on? What is this really about? If you just stop and listen and let people talk, they'll tell you what's wrong. They'll expose it for you because they'll start talking. And before you know it, you'll find out, well, you know, my father was angry and my father's father was angry and my father's father was angry. And this is just how we live in our house. Because nobody was willing to break the cycle. No one was willing to stop it right there. No one was willing to say, this is it. This is where the anger stops. We have to have somebody that's going to be willing to say, the buck stops here. As a parent, one of my things that I prayed, I mean, I was actually lucky because I didn't have brothers that hung in the street. Thank God. My mom was blessed with that part of it. Thank God. So, but the men in my family all died at an early age of not natural heart problems and things of that nature. And when I got taught by my ministry how to break generational curses and how to stop things in the atmosphere before they hit the reality of life, I began to pray against early death. I began to pray like, you know what? The men in my family, they die early. They die before they 40. I gotta stop this thing. I got a son. See, that's how we gotta think. If you know something is going on, we gotta pray. See, people wanna mock and they wanna laugh and they wanna joke about people that's in God or praying for God or it's in church or in ministry. They think it's funny until they get in a predicament and they don't know what to do. Then they want prayer. But let me explain something to you. You ain't got to be a praying guru. You ain't got to have all these fancy, fantastic words. You ain't got to have all these big, extravagant words. God speaks to you and hears you at the level where you are. He hears you for who you are. It's a billion, quadrillion people in the world, and he hears each one of us individually. So don't ever be scared to ask him, but break them generational curses. If you know that you was a gangbanger, you know that you was out there robbing people or beating up people or stealing stuff or going back and forth into prison, I charge you today to find some time and break that generational curse. That's one of those bondages that's going to break off of your family and off of your future of your family. You got to go into that throne room and say, God, listen, today I'm coming and I'm breaking the curse of gangbanging. I'm breaking the curse of stealing. I'm breaking the curse of killing. I'm breaking the curse of whatever it is that your family has been dealing with, what you've been dealing with in your past. You want to break it off your children so that thing don't go into your future. Because you know what? Your children is the future. Our children out here are the future. So if you sit there and you think it's nothing, oh, I used to do that, man, he'll be all right. No, it wasn't right when you did it, and it sure ain't right that they doing it. You have to break these things. We have to show them a new way, a new direction, because then we'll have a better outcome of our children. And like I said, I pray hard. I pray night. I pray day. Father God, don't let no heart attacks, no. Breathing palpitation problems, no asthma. I'll be praying hard. I don't want my son taken out of here on some because I was lazy and didn't think nothing about it. I pray. I knew when my brother was gonna be gone, when he was going. Before my brother died, I got a phone call from him. Actually, I called him. God told me to call him. And I ain't speak to my brother on a one-on-one phone call for about a year. But he showed me that, you know what? Call him. because I had been praying for him that his heart, you know, would get better and so on, keep him healthy, keep him strong, blah, 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 blah. But he told me to call him, and I did. And that next day, my brother was gone from his heart. So after he left, I went through some problems. I went through a lot of mental things where I was saying I shoulda, coulda, woulda, didda. But you know what? It was nothing. That wasn't my choice to make. That was God's choice to make. But in all of that, God said to me, keep praying over generational curses. Break these curses of heart attack. Break these curses of vein busting. Break these curses of bad blood. Break these curses of asthma, of high blood pressure. And those things I focused on. So then he transferred me over and said, there's kids out here that they going through stuff too. Break the curses of their parents not being able to teach them or reach them. So I pray over that. I pray that the children out here, parents, begin to get the help that they need. Mothers begin to get the help that they need. Fathers begin to get the help that they need. If another person tell me that a kid is bad because he came from a single mother home, I'm going to scream. Because that's not always, that's a crutch to me. I'm not saying that it's not something that could be possibly true, but I'm saying it's also come to the point where some people use it as a crutch. I came from a single mother home. It doesn't make that your the things that you're doing that's bad, right? Because I came from a single mother home. Oh, because he didn't have a father in house is why he don't know how to be good. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I'm tired of hearing that. I don't want to. If another person say that to me, I might scream. Because that's not true. It's harder as a single parent to raise a child, especially a boy. But it's not impossible. And it's not saying that, you know, oh, all these women are not. No, what I'm saying is we as a people need to stop using excuses for where we fall short at. If the father don't step into the place to doing what he's supposed to do, just do it. Stop using excuses to say, I couldn't do that because his father don't do nothing for him. It's not going to change. Just do it. If you need help with your sons or daughters as a single mother, ask for help. Before it becomes a problem. I just don't believe that saying that, oh, because they came from a single parent home is why they in trouble. Because they came from a single parent home is why they messed up. Because they came from a single parent home is why they the way they are. I don't believe that. That's not always true. That's truly not always true. Because I came from a single parent home. My mother had to raise 8 children by herself. 8 of us. My father died when I was 5. And at the time I was 5, my mother had kids from the age of 5 up to the age of 20. 8 kids. And at that point, my 2 oldest sisters already had kids. So she had 8 kids and 2 grandkids that she had to do on her own. None of us was in jail. One got on drugs but got off. I'm not saying this to be boastful. I'm saying this because it's possible. It's not impossible to be a single parent and have successful kids. I know too many people that have, not just my mother. I have girlfriends that are single parents and their kids are in college. They got my one girlfriend daughter, she's just became a lawyer. This is no way that just being a single parent is an excuse to say, let my kid run buck wild out here in the streets. We have to stop using these excuses and man up and be our parent, be parents that we're supposed to be. Our children, they demand it. God give us our kids. As my pastor teach, we are parent rent. We are renting these kids until God say they're his. Till God take them back to where he want them to be. But at this, we are parent rents. We are renting these kids. We have to teach them and the right way to go and the directions to go. If they choose to go on their off path, that's on them. That's between their relationship with God and them. But at the end of the day, you have to do your part. You got to step up and you have to do what you're supposed to do to teach them the right way. Because you're a single parent, it's not an excuse to allow them to be out to 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning at the age of 12 and 13. And then wonder why they're getting in trouble. No, we have to man up and do what we're supposed to do. We're causing our children by using excuses. We're causing our children to fall short because every time they do something they're not supposed to do, we got an excuse for what they're not supposed to be doing. oh, because I'm a single parent and I'm working and I don't have the hours to really do this with no. Listen, you working to make a living, and that's understandable. But there also, we find time to do other stuff. We go to the mall. We go to the store. We go hang out at friends' parties. We go and do all this other stuff. So don't tell me you don't have time. We can't expect somebody else to do with your child what you won't do with your child. You have a lot of people that want to help a lot of kids, and then they sit back and you know what they judging? To be very honest with you, they judging the parent. I have heard people say, why should I help that kid? His mother don't even care. She don't do nothing for him. She went on and did her own thing. She don't care what he out here. She got him out here. So if we not setting an example, women, that we are good parents to our children, we can't expect people, we can't charge people to do for our kids what we ain't willing to sacrifice and do ourselves. I have my kids, but for the most part, it was me. Their dad worked pretty much 24 hours a day. He was at work from sunrise to sunset. He would come in and just go to sleep and pop back up and go back to work. So everything that I had to do, I did with my kids by myself or with his mom and his sister, but most of the time with me. I didn't sit back and say, oh, because he at work and don't never help me with the kids, I'm not going to take care of them and I'm not going to teach them. I'm not going to shape them. I'm not going to mold them. No. I took them to parks. I took them to places. I took them to the shore. I took them to different amusement parks. I took them places so they could see that there's different things out here. Even if you don't understand or know something, ask somebody. Ask somebody how you could do things so that your kids don't fall short. I'm going to go here. I'm going to go back when we was kids. And those who can relate to me that are 50 and I say between the age of 35 to 50. Patterson used to have programs. They used to have programs where the kids can go to the park for camps for free. During the summertime, they would teach you arts and craft. They would take you swimming. They would take you to different museums and different places like that during the summertime. I don't even think we have them anymore. And I don't know what runs that program. I don't know who runs those type of programs. But why can't we bring that back to the community of Patterson? Why do we have to have everything has to have a fee on it? Why does everything have to have a price tag on it? We have these kids out here, y'all complaining that they out here in the streets in the summertime doing this and doing that. Why can't the city budget out money for these different parks to have these different programs for the kids? Our kids are falling short, right? I'm going to go here. There was a church. I'm going to go to our churches. There was a church when I was a kid. And I can't remember the name. God forgive me. Right on the corner of Hoseman and Heldon Ave. They fed us breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We would go there in the morning. They got food would come in on a truck. They was connected with a city program that would bring breakfast, lunch, and dinner for the community. They didn't charge us. They didn't ask us for ID. They didn't ask us for our parents. They didn't ask us nothing. They fed us. Their whole goal was they wanted to make sure that every child in the neighborhood was eating. Because they knew the type of neighborhoods they was dealing with. It was a poverty-stricken atmosphere. It's still, Patterson, a poverty-stricken atmosphere. The church, we would go there in the morning, and they would serve us breakfast at, I'm going to say, like 7 o'clock in the morning. The whole church, all the members, they would open up the door. And we would go in and sit down, and we would eat breakfast. And they didn't ask us for nothing. They didn't tell us we had to do this or do that. They said, thank you for coming to eat. We'll see you at lunchtime. And we all dispersed. 12 o'clock came. The truck came again. All hot food came again at lunchtime. They served us sandwiches, burgers, fries, whatever. And we ate orange juice, apple juice. They didn't come in and say, you got to eat. They gave us choices. And they fed us. But they fed us. Yeah, they were speaking. They would have a woman or a man come up and they would say something. They would speak the word of God. And they would read to us while we were eating. And they would say, y'all be safe. Have a good day. Remember, come back for dinner. And they would send us all on our way. Our parents didn't have to bring us. We could just walk there and go on our own. Then lunch, then dinner time was 5 o'clock. And when we go back at 5 o'clock, and the truck will be there, and the church will open the door, and they would serve us hot food, hot dinner, mashed potatoes, steak, Salisbury steaks, whatever it was that day. It was different. Sometimes it was grilled cheese. Sometimes it was collard greens. Whatever, they fed us. They prayed over us, and they sent us home. Do you know what that burden took off of the parent that was home? Do you know how that changed the mind of all those children in the neighborhood? They knew they was eating. They knew they was getting what they was getting nourishment. And the parents didn't have to stress out and worry about. They didn't have food in the house to feed their kid. They knew their kids was getting 3 meals a day. And you know who mandated that? You know who ran that? The church ran that. With the help of a state program for food. Why? Why, for the love of me, in 2019, we can't do that? All I'm saying is, if anybody out there know the programs that get the food, anybody have a church atmosphere that we can start this program up, let us know. My show is coming to an end. I want to thank those who have listened. I want to thank those who are online that have listened. Save our children. Let's get ourselves out of a slave mentality, and let's get ourselves out of the chains, and let's be free and get our communities back. Again, www.mikebroadcastddv.com. Go on, log on, leave your comments, speak to Pastor Mike if you want about some different things, and save our children. Let's go save the city of Patterson and our children and our future. Have a blessed and amazing afternoon.
Tri-State Health and Wellness. If you're searching for a doctor who truly cares about your health and well-being, contact Dr. Alex at Tri-State Health and Wellness. Dr. Alex specializes in treating law enforcement professionals and their families and features special hours to accommodate alternating work schedules. All necessary testing can be performed in their friendly and comfortable environment. Contact Tri-State Health and Wellness, located in Fairlawn, New Jersey. Call 201-791-7771. That's 201-791-7771. Dr. Alex at Tri-State Health and Wellness, a premier sponsor of the BlueMagazine.com and DDVRadio.com. Kale Orthopedic Center, high-performance care for bodies in motion. Kale Orthopedic Center is proud to provide comprehensive orthopedic care for the men and women of law enforcement and their families. Contact Kale Orthopedic Center at 201-447-3880. Kale Orthopedic Center, high-performance care for bodies in motion. If you're looking for a new vehicle or a certified used vehicle, look no further. Visit Wayne Ford, New Jersey's law enforcement preferred dealer, featuring the largest inventory of pre-owned certified vehicles. Wayne Ford is conveniently located on Route 46 in Wayne, New Jersey. Contact Wayne Ford today. Toll free 888-349-6857. That's 888-349-6857. The Blue Magazine, the nation's unfiltered and independent voice for law enforcement. The Blue Magazine's main objective is to strengthen the ties that bind us together as brothers and sisters in blue, featuring relative, helpful, and interesting articles while publishing the true and uncensored stories of the men and women in law enforcement who have taken the oath to protect and serve. Visit thebluemagazine.com. That's www.thebluemagazine.com. If you're a police officer, you know that visibility is a key safety issue. Now it's time for you to be the light in the darkness with the world's first patented rechargeable LED identifier, body beacon. Whether it be traffic enforcement or search and rescue, increased visibility is key to your safety. Inform your purchasing department about body beacon. Visit rescueleaders.com or call 862-221-9069. Homebridge Financial Services, offering mortgages for everyday heroes. Contact Michelle Hendershot at Homebridge Financial Services. Call 973-464-7119. That's 973-464-7119. Are you looking to purchase a home in Florida? For more information, contact Jenny Ramirez. Call Jenny
Ramirez at La Rosa Realty. Jenny Ramirez has been finding homes for law enforcement officers for over 15 years. Call 321-946-8555 or visit jenny.larosarealty.com. Are you looking for the best dentist and dental care services near you? Discover the Silverstrom Group Difference. Conveniently located in Livingston, New Jersey, the Silverstrom Group is the winner of the Best Dentist Award for 5 years in a row and voted New Jersey Top Dentists for 2018. Providing exceptional and compassionate care, the Silverstrom Group. Call 973-992-3990. That's 973-992-3990. If you're a member of the law enforcement profession and are looking to establish long-lasting business relationships with businesses that are blue-friendly, it's time to visit visitblue.com. Visitblue.com features some of the best doctors, lawyers, realtors, as well as other service providers, such as home improvement and financial services. If you are looking for reliable, trustworthy service providers, visit visitblue.com. That's www.visitblue.com. If you're looking for the widest variety of talk programming, entertainment, news, and information, you've found it. DDVRadio.com features programs such as Uncle Floyd Radio, The Wise Guy Show, and Blue World Uncensored. DDVRadio.com, the official radio network of VisitBlue.com and TheBlueMagazine.com.